Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
We will send it back to you.
Yeah, I wish I had good news today on a Monday morning. You know, everybody had a nice Thanksgiving, and you're watching all your games, and let's just say you're a Dolphin fan and a Canes fan. You're going, man, I'm really looking forward to Thursday night. Got a few days off. This is going to be great with the family, and get to see some of the family with you and everything. I was out of town, but for those of you that were staying around, and boy, you kind of circled, oh yeah, the last game on Thanksgiving would be fun to watch after they won three straight games. I want to see what the Dolphins look like against a really good test with a chance to get back to 500 against the Green Bay Packers. All right. And that didn't go well. And then Saturday, all right, that's over. Now the Canes, man. The Canes just got to take care of business. And the Canes really teased us because they jumped out to a 21-0 lead. You're going, oh, my God. They're going to score. My first thought, they're up 21. They're going to score 50. They were hitting deep crossing routes. And, I mean, it was, and you're like, man, this is great. Just keep going. And just score 50. Because I felt like the defense was going to give. I didn't think it was going to be like, you know, Syracuse was going to score like 20 points. But because I knew they'd get it going. They were at home and the crowd was just kind of waiting and, you know. And so just keep scoring. As long as you keep scoring, you're fine. Just keep scoring. They'll start pressing and you can really open this thing up. And the next thing you know, that sucker was all tied up. And I went, holy crap, here we go. And a couple mistakes, and an easy defensive score for that Syracuse defense, and you know that was a killer. And then on top of that, the penalty by Jacoby George, or we wouldn't be probably talking right now if it was 2nd and 7 instead of 2nd and 23 or whatever it was. I think it was 2nd and 7 to 2nd and 23. Get it back to 4th and 10, and you got to make a decision with, I want to say, just under 4 minutes left. And they go, all right. And listen, it's a right decision if you got a good defense. Oh, it's a right decision if you're like, if you got a defense that you trust, but there was no look and trust in that last three quarters with that. And even if you stop the run,
3:44 left in the game. They kicked
3:44.
That field.
3:44.
I mean, Joe, look, man, to get, even if your defense is playing well, 3:44, like that's cutting it real close. I think they had two timeouts left too. Like that's cutting it really close, man.
Regardless, again,
like
if you have a good defense, you know,
a three and out, it's still like, right? I mean,
your thought is that maybe they'll.
Then what? You're going to go 80 yards with 2 minutes? You still need a touchdown,
and maybe, you know, but.
They're going to punt the ball off. You're going to have to go basically the entire field.
I don't know what the analytics thing that Mario's talking about. I don't know what those – they have numbers on everything.
Who cares, by the way?
Well, because
this analytics stuff, but who cares?
Everybody lives by those.
Yeah, but you know what? Maybe you should live by your gut and just try to make the right, you know, football decision instead of going by the numbers every single time. Like
My thing was that your defense, you might not get the ball back, which you didn't get it back. That was my first thought is, it's great, but Syracuse, then on top of that, was a Moten, jumps off one of the defensive linemen, jumps off sides, and so that was first down, and that just kind of closed it out. But, you know, and I know Jacoby George had a problem with this last year. You just, of all time during a game, you decide to have that penalty. And by the way, he had a great game. He was over 100 yards. He and, you know, both he and X-Man were great. Restrepo. But, man, just things so tight you just can't have. I mean, it's one thing. You get little penalties, but a 15-yard for jumping up, like getting that penalty. Just such – probably going to score. Second and seven. Probably going to score. You're going to go for it, I would think. But you get your back from the 23 back to the 10. And
yeah, but either way, Joe, if you lose, you lose. But it's such a disappointing way to go out because you didn't even take a shot at it.
Yeah.
You didn't even get a shot. You've had a quarterback that has carried your ass all the way to this point.
Right.
And you took it out of his hands.
You did.
And you said, hey, defense, go out there and get the stop that you haven't gotten for a month.
Right. No.
Like, you took it out of the guy's hands. That, to me, is the disappointing part. Like, if you drop a nice play, you throw it to X, you throw it to Arroyo, who's having a monster game, you throw it to one of those guys and it doesn't work.
Yeah. I'm with you.
And you lose the game. And, yeah, and it is what it is. But, like, at least go out with, you know, take a shot. Like, they didn't get a shot, which is, like, to me, the most frustrating part.
I would, listen, you trust that guy, some of the best quarterback play we've had in the history of University of Miami. You know this is it. Let him win it or lose it right there. And by the way, if they don't, you get a stop, you get another shot. I, for a zillion different reasons, you know, I just go for it. I go for it, and I throw it. And Mario and whoever the guy is with him that's throwing numbers at him decided not to do it. And, of course, here we are again today wondering – because even if he doesn't complete the pass or they stop him or they blitz and he ends up, you know, whatever, your defense goes back out on the field, get a stop. Just get the stop. You got them backed up, get the stop.
That was the other point, too, is you already have them backed up. So if you did get the stop, you have a much shorter field. Because, again, like, you need a touchdown regardless, right? That didn't cut it to three. It cut it to four.
I don't know,
you
man.
You still needed a touchdown either way.
Yeah, it's like, it was just not, you know, and Amaro's got to deal with this to start with, this whole thing about not being a good manager, you know, with this stuff, and he must hear it all the time, too, and now this thing pops up. But so anyway, we'll find out tomorrow night. Was it tomorrow night, right? Tuesday night is the...
Yeah, but you still got conference championship
games. Yeah, right.
Which, you know what's really weird? I saw a lot of people talking about this over the weekend is, you know, these teams have to play an extra game, right? And theoretically, you could get penalized for losing, right? Because all these teams have to play in a conference championship game now. Like a team like the Hurricanes gets to just kind of sit there and wait.
If Clemson loses to SMU, that would be four losses on the season.
Oh, yeah, they're out.
They lost South Carolina.
Yes,
they're done.
Yes, I would agree.
Now.
How ridiculous is it that Clemson gets in?
Well...
it just sucks, man.
Clemson, you know, at least Clemson was smart enough. The two games they lost, two of them they lost, was to Georgia when they got pounded by Georgia, and South Carolina beat them.
Boy, the SMU thing's a little frustrating, isn't it?
Well, yeah. How about just join it? How about just join this conference?
They paid to
get
in.
And they're probably going to win it. I shouldn't say it. Clemson's going to have a chance to win, but SMU is just... got it rolling right now. Anyway, we got to get all caught up here. We've got a lot of stuff.
561 says Canes have gotten the stops at the end of games all year, Joe. Cal, Duke, Georgia Tech, Wake. Yeah, great.
Is that what somebody's
No, they've gave – yeah.
Somebody decides the defense is really good?
Yeah, no, they've gotten the stops all year, Joe, apparently. Well, you felt good about them getting a stop at the end of that game? Jeez, man. That thing was 21-0, and they got absolutely carved up the rest of the way.
So I would just say this again, that, you know, I was thinking about this. I called some, I was sitting around, and I go, look, I want to be fair about this thing. And so I was like, look, why not just 4th and 10? You go for it the way your defense is playing. I know nobody would agree in this game. And this is the best passing team. Syracuse couldn't stop their pass. That if for some reason, and there's probably, I guess the percentage, I have no idea what they are for 4th and 10. Somebody out there that's in analytics probably knows right now that's in Coral Gables listening, but they say it's an incomplete pass. All right. So Syracuse gets the ball at the 10. You still got those time. You get a stop. You still have plenty of time to get the ball back. You still have plenty of time to get the ball back if you get that stop with – a guy that can score just about as fast as anybody. So, anyway.
But this is why you can't rely on analytics, right? Because you have to look at the entire picture. And the entire picture tells you that your defense has very little chance of getting you the football back. With under 4 minutes, with the college rules, Joe, I mean, the way the clock ticks, like, I don't know, man. I just don't think you can go with analytics at that point.
Well,
you got to go with your gut. And if you know.
So I got to tell you, man, I hate to break it to you, since you're a smart guy, but everybody.
I know they're using analytics.
We got a couple coaches here in town that use analytics.
Yeah, well, how's it gone, Joe?
I'm just telling you, they use it. They believe in it, and they like the numbers.
Okay, and the numbers are good, but it, like again, at some point,
you
have to make the right football call.
You got to have a gut on the flow of the game. And
you can't have some
gut
numbers guy behind you and say this is the percentage. Let's do this. Like no, you gotta go with your gut sometimes, and you know, go for the at that point the tie. But
that's all right. And by the way,
it's so disappointing that they didn't even get a chance at it. That to me is the worst part. Is that they didn't even take a crack at it, and you had to watch the other team run the clock out.
Your quarterback stood over to the side and had a chance to watch, going, "Is this going to be my last game here?"
By the way, if they score there, I'm guessing Syracuse marches up the field and scores anyway, so maybe it wouldn't have mattered. I don't know.
Well, you probably go into overtime. You score right at the end there back. And I mean, you're just being total Debbie Downer.
Well, I'm trying to say that I don't know if they win anyway, but I would have still liked to see Cam Ward get a shot at it.
Yeah. No, I agree. See what he can do. And
you think they're a playoff team?
Who?
The Hurricanes? Are they a playoff team?
I don't. But I also get tired of some of the SEC schools. Listen, everybody's politicking.
Yeah,
their teams with three losses going, look at who we play every week. And I go, I knew this was going to happen. I knew this was going to happen, and they think they should get four teams, and SEC wants four teams, and the Big Ten's going to get four teams, and you know, and everybody's you know going to be whining like these. Well, we're the best conferences and all that, which by the way gives us something to talk about. My whole thing was that you just win one of these two games, and we don't have to have this discussion today. That's all. Not that we had a chance at the end of the game, so they were close. Nobody blew us out. We lost to two good teams. They did. They lost to two teams that were ended up. Georgia Tech had Georgia. They were looking good. They had a nice big lead until Georgia came back. And what'd they go, like 20 overtimes? It was a crazy amount. Hey, we got to go to break here. We got a lot more stuff to get to here. Want to tell you about Baptist Health South Florida, man. Where do the pros go when they get injured? Enter Miami. The Miami Heat, the Florida Panthers, and the Miami Dolphins, FIU, FAU, high school, college, and professional athletes, not just here in South Florida, but from all over the country, love Baptist Health South Florida sports medicine program. It is one of the tops in the country. Baptist Health South Florida does a lot of wonderful things with great doctors. But I'll tell you what, when it comes to that sports medicine program, it doesn't take a backseat to. That's why it's a top 50 program in the country. You start looking at the specialists that they've hired and the doctors that work with the teams every day. And boy, I'll tell you what, knee and shoulder and foot and ankle and hand and back and hip and knee replacement, Achilles doctors that do nothing now with the Achilles, more and more athletes of all different ages and all of us popping Achilles. Well, listen, I got great news. Baptist Health South Florida is expanded through all three counties to make sure you can see those doctors, and it's convenient for you. That's right. We've got Doctors Hospital in Coral Gables, been around for a long, long time. We're now at Hard Rock Stadium right next to the practice facility. You can visit that one, set up an appointment if that's easier for you to get to. Or, of course, 595 in Pine Island in Plantation. Dr. Swartzen territory out there, the new facility. So easy to get to. Right off 595 in Pine Island. It's right there, man. You see the pineapple. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho. One go every day. It's about getting you healthy, playing the sports you love the most.
All right, let's get your weather. Brought to you by the Debesman and Dover Law from youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24-7 at 866-954-MORE. 57 degrees and sunny. A little chilly out there. Someone check on the Dolphins. Joe, back to you.
All right, Woody, thank you. And no, you're safe. What is the temperature? Like, they had all these numbers. They were all bad numbers, like under 40 degrees, under 35 degrees, under.
You talking about out there in Green Bay?
No, they were just talking in general since.
Was it that cold, bro? I don't know. It looked cold, but it looked like decent conditions, though. It didn't look like Buffalo last night.
We're the only market that does this. Like, really. Like,
San Francisco can do it. They were slipping and sliding all over that place last night. I don't know what that was.
The cold thing is just gets so old. It's like, it's such a weak excuse. Like, and it's not going away. And I'm guessing those guys, like, if you're getting sick of hearing it, do something about it. But you're like, yeah, you're now, because with cold comes soft, that you're mentally weak, that you can't put up with the cold weather for 3 hours. And by the way, their team going, yeah, they look cold to us. We're looking at them going, yeah. They ran for over 100 yards in the first half. Right off the bat, they got the running game going, and then, you know, mixing in some pass in there. And but you look at all the numbers, and I don't know, so they miss a ridiculous amount of tackles. I don't know what the number was, 20 or – they got numbers on everything. Now we got missed tackles, 20 to 23 tackles they miss in the game, and a lot of them were like short passes where the guy turned and the first guy missed and the second guy kind of bounced off him and the third guy finally gets him. And so, yeah, they kind of tackled like it was cold out, like they were affected. I agree with Jordan Brooks. And I guess, you know, Mike asked Jordan Brooks about it, and Mike goes, oh, no, he's talking about the defense. And, man, listen, man, the offense didn't exactly get after it either. So if you're getting tired of hearing about it, you're going to have to win. Now, you've got two cold games left coming up. It's going to be cold in Cleveland. And your last two games of the season are on the road against teams between them that have, what, 6 wins total? But, you know, I don't know. But there wasn't any part of the game that looked good. I watched Tua warm up, by the way. He threw the ball great in warm-ups. Those guys were a little more serious in warm-ups than they actually was kind of refreshing. Guys were running routes hard. Tua was out there letting it rip. And I go, okay. You know, I want to make sure he was good with it and all that, you know, all the chatter, and he was throwing the ball fine. And then, you know, next thing you know, you're down 27-3 basically after 3 quarters. And, you know, and everything was bad. You're getting beat on line of scrimmage, the goal line disaster. Special teams had 2 bad plays to start the game. They actually got off the field on the long return to start the game. And then, you know, you fumble a punt return. So, but the penalties, the tackling, the delay of game. Did we have 2 delay of games? Did I see 2 of them? It was just, you know, just bad. Bad stuff. I thought it was going to be a competitive game. I really didn't. I know the final was 30-17, but it didn't feel like it was that close. So anyway, moving on now, and, you know, they right after the game, they bounce back. Well, we got to win these 5. We know that, and no room. And you're like, oh, okay. And, you know, you got the Jets this week, and you're 1 game. Then you got to go play Houston. And I don't know what 49ers are going to look like. I'm willing to bet that Nick Bosa is going to play in that game when he comes back home. I don't know how much that changes the way they looked last night.
I know CMC is hurt again. Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah. I don't know the other back. They're not.
Yeah, Jordan Mason's good, but yeah, Christian McCaffrey's a pretty dynamic player.
Physical cat. But anyway.
What's the difference, man? Seriously, at this point, though?
Well,
I mean,
still got 5.
This isn't like, I don't feel like with the Dolphins that I want to get in the playoffs and roll the dice. I just don't think they're. I think the roster is so badly flawed.
So let me get this right. You don't want to get the 7th spot if you can.
I don't care.
Oh, okay.
Is that okay?
Do you really care about
anything? Is
that okay
with you, Mr. Hype Man in there? Like,
I'm not
okay with you?
But I hope they get to 10-7. I want to see.
Yeah, no, it'd be riveting to watch them go and play on the road in one of those places.
Let me see it probably
for the playoff game.
Probably be
cuz that will go well, I'm sure.
Well, it could be if this thing finishes the way it is, it would be
what?
Buffalo.
Oh, great. Yeah, that looked like a great situation for the Dolphins.
No, that would not. And that kind of weather would not be good for the Miami Dolphins. Let me be the first to say it would look like.
You think the 49ers look bad out there?
Yesterday. Good God, the holes that opened up. 49ers.
They got their asses kicked, man. They were falling all over the place. They were fumbling the football.
I think every – well, listen.
Jeez, man.
Those 5 guys on that offensive line for Buffalo are built for that weather, along with that guy that snaps, that takes the snap behind him, was pretty impressive. That was something else. But anyway, yeah, man. So I hope they win five, because I want to see what they look like in the playoff game, because this thing is, you know, it does. I agree. Probably being a seven seed, and if you got to play the seven plays, the first team gets a bye, which would be, it's hard to imagine. Bills look like they're the best team in the AFC, but these Kansas City finds a zillion different ways to win games. It's incredible. Should have lost again.
Yes, they should have.
Friggin' kicker. There's another guy that's having a bad kicking day. Like the last one, he looked like he kicked more grass than he did the football. Never
he
got it up.
50-something, he didn't even reach.
Then I don't know whose fault. One guy's taking blame. The other guy's taking blame. And they got a timeout sitting there, and that thing was a mess. And centers snaps the ball, and the quarterback's looking around and fumbles, and Kansas City gets the ball. They don't even kick a field goal to get a chance to at least miss it. It didn't even get to that. That's a lucky-ass team, the Kansas City Chiefs. But
I think 7-seed Joe needs to take a little breather here, though, man.
I didn't say 7-seed.
I know, you're on it. I get it. Like, it's time to take a little breather, man, because, again, I do think you have to look somewhat big picture. At some point, like, you have to take a little bit of a step back. You're so wrapped up in it, you got to take a little step back and realize that this team stinks and that they need some serious, serious changes.
Yeah, but you can't do it. So I always tell, what do I always tell you when you say this during a season? I said, man,
I know
be a
you
lot
can't do
time.
Anything. I know, but like, here's the other thing, though, man. Like, now it's starting to get to the point where you got former players that are on TV. You got analysts all over TV. Just
go
lay,
ahead. Let me hear.
And Rodney Harrison.
Go ahead.
The night game on NBC and Peacock was the Dolphins at the Green Bay Packers. They played on Christmas Day a couple of years ago in Miami. This is different because we know the narrative with the Dolphins, and they talk about how we're going to break narratives, and they don't break the narratives. They go out into the cold, and they're a different team than when they're playing at home. We didn't see any of that sleight of hand, where's the ball, flip it over here, no-look stuff. It's cold. It's even though it wasn't as cold as it was in Kansas City, it's still cold. And that team is different when you get them in the cold, period. That one could have been worse. They showed some life in the second half. But the Dolphins, they're just a team that's not ready to compete with the best teams in the NFL, especially when the temperature dips below 60.
Jordan Brooks, linebacker Jordan Brooks, came out and said the Dolphins were soft and the weather affected them. And like you talked about, Mike, we saw the same thing in Kansas City. And someone asked me, well, who do you think is going to win the game? Well, what's the temperature? If it's over 50 degrees, you know, if it's over 50 degrees sunny, hey, I'm picking the Dolphins. But the Dolphins are a team. They're soft, man. And you get in their face, you play physical with them, you jam those receivers, they're going to have problems. So I knew that they would have issues going into Green Bay trying to win that game. But for one of your guys, for a guy like Jordan Brooks to come in and say that you were soft, and, you know, and just at the beginning of the game, I already saw it. I was there in Kansas City, so I saw it firsthand. And I'm at home now watching the game, and these guys are sitting on a bench. They got coats on. They're shaking. They got these big gloves on. You already know you have them. As a team, you see guys like that. You're walking, you're jogging on the field, you're laughing. We used to do the same thing to Tony Dungy, them. Marvin Harrison, them guys used to come out in a big coat and hats. And we used to sit back and say, yep, we got them. They're more concerned about the weather. And that's the same thing with the Dolphins. The Dolphins are a soft team. All that fake handoff, quick pass, nah. That stuff doesn't work in the wintertime.
Yeah, and we saw that last night. And Barry Jackson, the Miami Herald, had a stat today that surprised me but didn't surprise me. The Dolphins last year against teams that made the playoffs in 2023 were 1-6, and they were outscored by 110 points against teams that made the playoffs. This year, teams currently in playoff position, the Dolphins are 0-4 and outscored by 58 in those four games. They're just not ready to beat good teams. They know how to beat up on the teams they should beat. They don't know how to beat the teams they shouldn't beat. That magic runs out. That finesse doesn't work. And that's a problem for the Dolphins. And right now, 5-7, you look at the Broncos, they should win Monday night against the Browns and move to 8-5. The Chargers are in playoff position. Whoever doesn't win the AFC North between the Steelers and the Ravens will get the other one. We're pretty much at the spot where the Dolphins are done. They'd have to run the table and maybe hope for help at this point. They'd finish 10-7, and that might not be a guaranteed ticket in because the other teams are going to keep winning too. I think the Dolphins might be done, and you'll wonder what kind of changes they're going to make. They're tied to Tua Tagovailoa through 2026 at least, and they extended Mike McDaniel before the season started. Not that an owner couldn't buy out Mike McDaniel's contract, but you know, this is a team that's just going to be kind of fringe contender, and they didn't address any of the issues last year that everybody knew about, and I wonder if they can even address them this year going into a new season and trying to change the narrative in South Florida.
There you have it. Rodney and
How's
Mike.
How's that for a rip job? You all right with that one?
Man. Jeez. Soft, what I heard, finesse, soft, and cold.
Did you notice that too? I mean, they are on the, you know, the benches with those giant coats.
I noticed everything. Yeah. I literally did not move 40 minutes before the game. I literally watched, since I've done that myself, I was curious to see what everybody looked like in the cold weather. I'll tell you what, you know the one guy that gets out there, doesn't put a lot of stuff on? Tyreek Hill. He got out there running around before the game. They were throwing it, and I went, okay, that's the way you're supposed to warm up. But
and I don't think he's the problem. I think there's a bigger issue when it comes to Tyreek Hill, and I think that's the fact of poor coaching. Because if you got that guy on your team, you got to find a way to get him more involved.
Well, he tried.
That's on the coaching.
They tried the first half a couple of times. One was underthrown. One was overthrown. One was a little bit there, a little bit here. Just
well, you also have to know if you're Mike McDaniel. I don't know, maybe he doesn't realize this, but you're very limited as well at the quarterback position, especially when you're playing in that weather.
I got news for you. I got to tell you, man. We can dogpile and say whatever you want. Like I didn't think he was affected. He made a couple of throws that looked like they were affected, but I was watching him zip it around, and I was like, oh, I mean, zip it for him, and I went, okay, he looks fine throwing the ball.
Well, there was a big debate. I know Omar, when Omar comes in, he might defend Tua because he did it on Twitter, but. Like, I don't know, maybe Tua's not, like, specifically to blame
but he ain't going
directly
anywhere.
For that loss, but he's a big part of the problem. He is a really big part of the problem, and you and I were talking yesterday on the phone, I go, just look at the guy in Green Bay. Look at Jordan Love. How much better is that guy than Tua?
He looked weatherproof. For impressive, first time I've seen him play, and he looked really good with a really good team. Yes, he did. A lot of good points, and I knew this was going to happen. When you get kicked around like that and you're down 27-3 on what everybody thought was going to be the best game of the three games on Thanksgiving, this is what you put up with. And you're right. So now here we go again. Jets are coming to town with more problems than, you know, everything else. And see... And by the way, you need so much help starting tonight. You need Cleveland to beat Denver, and that's which really sucks. You need other people to do your work because you can't do it yourself.
You're going to really sell this playoff thing, huh?
What?
You're going to sell this playoff thing hard here down the stretch?
I'm not going to sell anything because I'm not sold on the team right now. But I hope I would like to see him get in there. Like I'm not ever going to say if you can get a 7 seed, you should try to get it. There's nobody else to play.
I mean, they're not going to tank, but it's like at this point, I mean.
No, I mean, what just happened was
like if they got to go on the road and play any of those teams we saw, man, any of those really good teams, they're going to get there.
You know, you don't like your chances, man. No, because all those teams, pretty good run in the football or weatherproof quarterbacks. No, I'm with you. Hey, we got to go to break here. We've got a lot more stuff to get to here. Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage, man. Talk about that guy and the work he does. And if you're looking to get a mortgage and you need it quickly, Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage is all about great service. You start with that, getting you the best rates, getting you approved quickly, even on the weekend, being able to take care of anything you need. Whether you're a first-time home buyer, you're self-employed, you've been declined by the banks, if you just need a reverse mortgage, you figured out and you found out your friends all have reverse mortgages, and you could really use that equity in your home. Reverse mortgage has worked. If you and your spouse are 62 or older, you qualify. And a lot of people just in a situation right now, they could really use some of that equity in their home. And Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage, nobody gets it done faster about half the time of the big banks because he's busting his butt to get it done for you. He's got 35 years of experience right here in South Florida. And his company and business has been built making sure he takes care of you and gets it done as quickly as possible. Go to Google Reviews on the web, Choice Mortgage Reviews. Find out what people are saying about him. That's important. And then on top of it, he works 7 days a week. You can call or text him. Get it started right now, 561-441-2730. That's 561-441-2730. MLS 166-254. Rates and terms subject to change daily without notice. He's an equal housing lender and ready to help you right now.
All right, a couple things for you here before we get back to it. First thing, Joe, we have tickets for the Heat and Cavaliers. We have a four-pack of tickets that we are going to give away at some point here. We can do that however you see fit.
I don't care, but when exactly is that coming up?
Well, look, I just think it's good that we have something to give to some struggling fans out there. And we also have the holiday favorite, the Nutcracker, coming to the Arch Center December 13th to 24th. We got tickets for you to see it and get into the holiday spirit. It's easy to enter. Just go to WQAM.com, head over to the contest page to register. Get your nuts cracked.
That's funny. It was funny this morning. I'm not laughing.
I don't know.
I'll laugh.
Bro, anything at this point to laugh. Just a little, right?
Oh, Woody. Got Cavs, though. Cavs tickets. Four of them.
The best show in the league, right?
Best show right now. What do you got, Woody, for us?
You want to do some whip-around action here, Joe?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right.
Great games, by the way. Finishes yesterday.
Really were. Chargers. Dolphins, I guess, could have used that one. 17-13, they beat the Falcons. They do hold on in that game.
Kirk Cousins,
four picks. Yeah, nice job, Kirk. Dude, he had a throw in the end zone. He just lobbed it up there. Just tossed it in
back of the end zone. He just drops it in there, man. It was like.
How much did you enjoy the red zone yesterday? You're all up to date on everything. I love it.
Yeah, it was great.
Bengals and Steelers. This one was very entertaining. The Bengals are 4-8. That is crazy. Russell Wilson, though, man. I don't think the Steelers knew what they were doing. He threw for over 400 yards.
He
looked like old Russell Wilson out there.
He looked good, by the way. Joe Burrow has 30 touchdown passes and 5 interceptions. Yeah. Usually you'd be going, wow, those are MVP numbers. His team is behind the Miami Dolphins right now. They can't stop anybody.
Patriots came up short. Colts beat them 25-24.
Did you see how that happened?
I did.
How about that?
No.
Second-year quarterback.
Yeah.
Mr. Richardson. And the 2-point conversion.
Yep.
Went for it. Oh, we're going for the win.
Vikings beat the Cardinals 23-22. Vikings 10-2.
How about that, man?
Pretty impressive. Kyler Murray threw a couple of rough ones in that game as well.
How good is that division?
Pretty good.
Pretty damn good.
Seahawks beat the Jets. We talked about that one. Commanders crushed the Titans 42-19. That's a nobody cares. The Texans barely beat the Jaguars 23-20.
What happened to their passing game, the Texans?
I don't know. They're 8-5, so they're in it. I mean,
well, all they got to do is win their division. Yeah. Hey, you win that division 9-8, you're still getting a home game.
The Bucks almost messed around and lost to the Panthers. The Panthers seem to be pretty feisty these days here, but Bucks hold on in overtime.
You know what?
They fumbled. That young quarterback fumbled.
I thought that young quarterback looked a lot better.
Bryce Young?
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. They fumbled in overtime there, cost them the ball game. The Eagles and the Ravens was a fantastic game. The Eagles win that one 24-19. The Ravens got field goal issues, though, man.
Yeah.
Never thought we'd say that.
About Justin Tucker? No.
Is Saquon Barkley the MVP? He had 107 and a touchdown yesterday.
I know, man. If he gets
and a big touchdown.
He's on his way to 2,000 yards.
Okay.
Boy, how about Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley in the same game? That was fun. Derrick Henry was no slouch yesterday either.
So if it's not Saquon, like to me, it's Josh Allen. The Bills beat the 49ers 35-10.
Might still be Josh Allen.
Did you see what he did yesterday? He became the first quarterback in history to have a receiving, rushing, and passing touchdown in the same game.
He threw a pass, and it came back to him when the guy flipped it back. It was actually Amari Cooper, wasn't it? I think it was Amari Cooper that actually flipped it back to him, and he ran in, did the rest of the work.
So that was a first ever there, man. That's that was pretty cool. And then we have Monday Night Football tonight, Broncos and Browns. Denver obviously needs this one. The game's in Denver. Denver's favored by 6 points. The total is 42.5, Joe.
You know, Cleveland, Jameis Winston, you never know. Oh, man.
Well, you have to pick.
I'll take Denver.
Yeah, me too. Good pick.
I was going to try to get real creative.
Yeah, I could tell you were trying to. Yeah, that's all right.
Leave that alone. Probably not, yeah.
Omar is like pacing outside, man. He is so ready to go.
Well, you're getting after it pretty good.
I think threw that was him Omar.
You threw
either that or he's running late. I just saw a text from him. We'll figure it out in a minute.
Anyway, that was not him. That was security, by the way.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah, right.
Because I just checked my phone, and he said he's coming closer to 9. So,
no. Okay, so, yeah. All right. We got a lot.
I jumped the gun on that one.
No, I looked out there.
I saw someone was pacing around like out of the corner of my eye. I didn't know who it was.
No, she just came to say hello, probably grab a coffee in this nice cool weather this morning. But yeah, Woody, wow, man, that was, I ain't gonna lie to you, that was a stinger this weekend, man.
Yeah, which one?
Both.
Saturday just was the pile on, right?
Oh, man. Just all those things,
we're so close, man. We're close.
Bring it. Let's remember last week. Bring it on. Then we're going to show everybody. We know what's out there and what people are saying. Guess what? They're still saying it. Hey, right now I want to tell you about Harvey Cohen and Gary Judah. Yeah, the partners of Cohen and Judah, injury law firm, personal injury attorneys in Plantation. Boy, I'll tell you what. If you've been injured, it's pretty serious stuff, right? You've been injured, whether it's at work, in a car accident, or anything else. And you're starting to look around, somebody that can handle your case. Or you have somebody handling your case that you're not impressed with because their communication skills aren't real good and they don't get back to you. You have no idea how it's going. Well, I can just tell you this. They'll be the same partners who handle your case from start to finish when you go with Cohen and Judah. That's right. Harvey and Gary will do all the work. They'll be doing it for you. Big enough to go to trial and get you multi-million-dollar results and small enough just to call you back. Even on a weekend, you call, it's important to you and your family. They understand it. That's why they're so good at what they do. One of the many reasons. Go to CohenandJudah.com. Read the reviews. Partners who can handle your case, and you can always get a hold of them. They'll get on the phone with you and answer all your questions you have. And again, if you're somewhere else and not real happy right now and just feel like, what's going on, man? You couldn't wait to get me. It impressed me when I came in the door the first time, but since then, nobody's getting back. Can you give me an update? How's it going? What's the latest? I care. It's important. Go to CohenandJudah.com. Find out what they can do for you. Again, that's attorneys that care about you. 866-FAIR-FEE. And remember this. They don't pay other lawyers to do the work you hire them to do. Whether you're just looking for an attorney right now or you're somewhere else and not happy, Harvey Cohen and Gary Judah be glad to take good care of you.